It's time now for How You Built That. And this story starts back in the late 1990s when Casey Kerrigan was working at a rehabilitation hospital in Boston.
I was seeing a lot of patients with knee arthritis.
Especially women in their 50s and 60s.
And what we found is that high heels affected pretty much the whole body.
She found that high heels don't just affect knees, but hips, feet, lower back, pretty much everything. Now, Casey's specialty is physical medicine, so she started to do some research. And she soon realized that high heels are not the only enemy. Women's shoes in general have all sorts of problems.
Too narrow of a toe box, too narrow of a forefoot, a lack of true spring in the sole.
And some of Casey's younger patients would say, yeah, I know these shoes are bad for me, but I want my feet to look great and fashionable.
But gosh, do we really want to be walking around in shoes that are doing this? I mean, let's walk around in shoes that are going to be the easiest on our joints.
So at this point, around 2009, Casey decides to quit her very safe, very good paying job at the University of Virginia Medical School. And she sets out to design a kinder shoe for women.
When I left, I thought, you know, this shouldn't be too hard. Just need to make a sole that's flat and springy and that accommodated the natural anatomy of a woman's foot. How hard could that be?
Actually, pretty hard. For starters, no shoe factory in the world seemed set up to make the kind of shoe Casey had in mind, which was wide in the toe, totally flat on the bottom, with a super springy sole.
Nothing in the design is like meant to just be pretty, or you know, everything's functionally based.
So using computer-assisted design software, Casey taught herself how to make those first shoes. But remember, she couldn't find a manufacturer to make them. So she and her husband took their savings, they bought an old warehouse, and they filled it with all kinds of equipment.
I bought this big filament winder to make these carbon fiber springs. I bought a water jet saw. Then there's ancillary things like you need
By the way, this is all happening when Casey is already in her late 40s.
Oh, chiller, that's it. So you need a water chiller.
She'd been a medical doctor, then a tenured professor, and suddenly she's making shoes.
I never thought, I'd ever be a cobbler, right?
In about 2011, Casey's first shoe was ready to sell. It was kind of a heavy, chunky leather sneaker.
You know, these were like orthopedic looking shoes, I gotta be honest. Not really attractive because they had real thick soles.
But a few years later, Casey found a better material for the soles, rubber pellets, the same stuff they make those super bouncy balls out of. And at roughly the same time, 3D printing was becoming cheaper.
And I thought, wait a minute. If we 3D print it, I can basically create the sole that I could only imagine ever making, you know, with traditional manufacturing.
So now Casey could make thinner and more flexible soles for all kinds of new designs, like a tennis shoe and a ballet flat and even a platform sandal with a fluorescent blue bottom.
And it's comfortable. That's the thing, is when you step on our soles, it's springy. I mean, women, they'll smile because they've never experienced it before.
Casey calls the shoes Osh, which is an anagram for the word shoe. Both she and her husband run the company out of Charlottesville in Virginia. Last year, just selling from their website, they made about $750,000. If you want to find out more about Osh shoes or hear previous episodes, head to our podcast page, howibuiltthis.npr.org. And of course, if you want to tell us your story, go to build.npr.org.